Okay, Christy. So I know that there are a lot of things that I thought about when I first got sober. And it gave me the anxiety around like, how am I going to do that thing without drinking? And a lot of the things were seemingly the fun things, like, what am I going to do at my wedding? Or like, even little things like, you mean I'm not going to be able to like drink when we watch sports? Like, little things. But then there are these big things. And particularly, I've witnessed a couple of women throughout sobriety demonstrate to me how they get through like the tough things without drinking. I had a very close friend lose a parent, and I watched her go through that sober. And I was like, if she can do that, I can do literally anything without picking up a drink. And a part of your story is that you've walked through a divorce without drinking. And I can only imagine the way that a divorce might shake your like foundations of not only like your family situation, but like, now who am I? Like, now who am I? So I kind of just want to chat with you about what came up for you in that divorce that was challenging. And, whether or not it tempted you to drink, I mean, that's one thing or another, it doesn't really matter. But like, as a sober woman, tell me a little bit about the challenges you faced.
For sure. Okay, so I went to rehab having just gotten separation papers from my husband, and I thought I will either get sober and stay married, or I will get divorced and I will drink how I want. Because when women get divorced, they support each other by bringing wine over. And they cry together and they watch The Bachelorette and they bring food, lasagnas. That is what I imagined. I imagined like all these girls' nights. And instead, what happened was when I went to rehab, I realized I could save my marriage or I could save my life. And I could not do both. And I chose myself. And that was terrifying. When I got out of rehab, I moved back into my marital home for a very brief period. And my home did not feel like a safe place for me. So I said I needed to heal in a space where I was not so addicted with all these triggering memories, all the places I would hide bottles, just all of the stuff in the house was really triggering to me. And I said, as we're walking through our separation, whatever that means, I need space. And so I moved out into my own apartment. And one of my biggest fears was being alone and not having an accountability that I was used to. When I had struggled with getting sober the first time, I had sort of like police people around me, right? Like people knew I was what I was trying to do and not doing and saying I was doing and not doing, going to AA and drinking in my car. Like everyone kind of knew what was going on. And now, after being an inpatient, where not only do you have that, but you have support systems and healing circles and just so much organization in your life and structure and focus on sobriety and what it does for you and how much joy it can bring to your life. I really worried that without someone watching me, I would slip.
So I'm sure that there were nights when you were just like crawling out of your skin, right? Like doing anything for the first time. I do a liken it to like, it feels like you're crawling out of your skin, but then I remind myself, no, I'm not crawling out of my skin. I'm shedding a skin. I'm shedding this old part of me
Yes.
that used to revert back to old habits or revert back to old comforts. In order to create new comforts and safety for yourself, as you said, like the whole point was to create space so I could create safety. We
Right.
have to shed a skin, we have to transform in a way. So, can you recall a couple of those like initial nights? Like, what tools did you use to get through that discomfort?
For sure. I mean, the opposite of addiction is connection. And here I was isolating. I was very aware of that. And one of the things that I did is start my Instagram account and I said, "Hello world, my name is Christy and I am an alcoholic. This is my face. And if you see me drinking, call 911. That is not okay." I didn't trust myself and I really used the people around my everyday life in more ways than one. And I needed to know that I could do this alone. So that was one way. I went to an AA meeting every day. I listened to the Bubble Hour podcast every day. I read Quit Lit every day. I journaled every day. I went to yoga 5 days a week. I started giving myself more time than I wanted to do things that seemed hard, which meant allowing myself to feel the emotions connected with the actions of what I was actually doing, i.e. moving out of my marital home, knowing there was a very high likelihood I would never move back in to that family system again, and I did not.
I'm really curious about that, and it feels like a very personal question to ask, and I suppose I only ask it because I've asked it to myself, so, you know, I ask this like humbly and with like loving curiosity.
Yeah.
When you decided to leave that space, it sounds like you had a little bit of a lack of certainty, right? Like it wasn't maybe 100% like I'm leaving and I'm never coming back, but it does also sound like there is this kind of instinctual knowing.
Yes.
Was that, like, I can only feel like that would be so hard to trust. Like we talked, you said something about self-trust and I was like, yeah, sometimes I don't even know if I can like trust myself. Like, am I making the choice that is actually what's best for me? And I also think that a lot of my journey has been around, like, I can trust myself to like pay attention to if things are going well or not, and like make decisions based on that, to reduce the black and white thinking of either I'm going to make the best decision of my life or the worst decision of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment of you choosing to say, you know, my marriage is a factor in my success and in my health, and I need to discern whether it's a helpful factor or a hurtful factor. Was that a part of your process of choosing to step away and create space? Or like, how did you actually find it within yourself to make that choice?
I mean, there was another side to the story, his side, right? He had to want to be married to me too, and he didn't want to. But the part that it only mattered, my choice was the one that mattered. And for 6 of my 8 weeks in rehab, I thought I was trying to save our marriage. And I did an exercise and it was write a letter to my daughter who was at the time 7 months old and about your partner and what they would offer you. And he said, now read me this letter. And I read it about this beautiful partner that my daughter would have. And he said, now cross her name out and put yours there and tell me of these things that you dream of for your daughter. Like, what is fulfilled in your life here? And I was like, oh my gosh. So that exercise was the first time I think I let this intuition I have had for a very long time surface, take up real estate in my head. For so long, I wouldn't allow that to be a possibility. I didn't think I could be a single mom. I didn't think I could survive a divorce. I didn't think I would ever be able to show my face again after 2 DUIs in a week and rehab and 4 kids in 5 years, and now you're not together and what's going on? And I stopped lying to myself. I stopped caring what other people were saying, thinking, gossiping about. There was so much. And I turned it all off. And when I say I like gave myself space, it's like put your pen on the page without a goal of achieving something and let just your heart say what it needs to say or draw what it needs to draw or like write the words or whatever it is. And I found so much power in taking up space for myself in a way that as a mom with so many little kids and I felt a supportive wife and moves and jobs and all these things, I just had lost space for myself. And sobriety was not just an invitation for that, but a demand for making space for yourself. And for a long time, space for myself was self-sabotage. It was the only space I knew how to take up alone. And sobriety was taking up space for self-love and discovering what it is to me, for me, where it lives. It lives on the page, in words, in nature, in connection with others, in trusting that that vision that doesn't make sense, in following my passion. It was the scariest thing. And there were so many nights that I thought about drinking, and I did. I thought about it, and it's like nobody would know. Literally no one. I have an ID. I am well over 21. I can go plenty of places no one would know me, and I could bring it back to my apartment and no one would know. And there was one night about 6 months sober in January, right after we decided we were getting divorced, that I bought a bottle of champagne. And it was after an AA meeting. I didn't think about it. I wasn't thinking about it. I all of a sudden was in my apartment opening a bottle of champagne at 6 months sober. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Oh my God, what am I doing? Oh my God, there it is. And it was like this acute awareness of I actually purchased it. I actually snuck it in past my own self, right? That I could do this for some reason, buy a bottle of champagne. Like that's the first no, don't buy it. But I ended up just throwing it, the glass and the champagne bottle down the trash chute, like in a fit of like, I can't believe that almost happened. And then I called my sponsor and all the things. But what I knew was that that intuition, that voice could not coexist with champagne. There was not room for both. And it had taken me so much time and trust to get to that place with myself that it would have thrown all of that away. And I was just starting to identify like who I was again. I was puzzling at night. I was writing poetry. I'm doing yoga and like fun yoga pants, like just like taking bubble baths every day, stuff that makes me and happy. And I hadn't done that in so long that as hard as the work was and as lonely as I was, there were like real highs of like personal achievements of like, I can sit in the bathtub without distracting myself with anything and just be and kind of meditate. And that serenity and peace that I saw in other people, I'm starting to build in myself. And that gives me more confidence than anything in the whole wide world.
It's such a relief. Like, I resonate so much with those beautiful moments that you're describing. Because for me, it's like, such a relief to have evidence that I can trust myself when historically I built up a lot of evidence that I, and I use the quotes here, can't trust myself. But as you're speaking, like you really do bring up this thread of we choose our intuition or we choose alcohol. And sometimes it doesn't seem that black and white, but at the end of the day, like, could it be that simple? Could it be so simple that we can trust ourselves? We can trust ourselves. We can trust our thinking. We can trust our ideas. We can trust our heart. We can trust our intuition. If we choose to not do this one thing, right? If we say no to alcohol, we can say yes to so many other things that are afforded to us. And that's why I say, like, it's not that I'm so obsessed with sobriety that I have to talk about sobriety every day. It's also not that I like demonize alcohol so much that I don't want anybody else to drink it who can drink it safely or, you know, whatever. I am obsessed with the fact that this choice to not drink in my life affords me time, energy, financial abundance, presence, amazing relationships, like that trust within myself. It's taken me years and years and years to really finally feel safe. Like, you think taking a bubble bath by yourself in the evening isn't a big deal? No, no, no. I used to drink in the bubble bath, okay? Like, to feel safe in my body with no one else in the house for an extended period of time is an incredible accomplishment for this human being. Because it doesn't just represent that I didn't drink today. It represents that, as you have expressed in your story, I show up for myself again and again and again. And I have worked out those conditioned kinks of survival mode that tell me I have to be liked. I have to do the thing that other people do. I can't control or handle this feeling. I've worked those kinks out to a place where I have so much evidence now in my body that I actually am safe being with it all, surviving it all. And like that level of serenity is, it doesn't, it didn't come immediately for me, right? Like, and that's why I appreciate like hearing in your story that journey of, it took me 6 months to get to a place where I'm just starting to explore myself. And even right. then having these instances of like, what the heck am I doing? I mean, that happens as a part of the journey. Like sometimes you just snap into old patterns. And thankfully you had a moment of awareness where you remembered your choice and you made a healthy adaptive choice. So I really appreciate you kind of painting a picture about different places of your journey. I think it really speaks to not only the true moment to moment anxiety and bravery that it takes to like walk through doing your life in a new way. But also that really what feels like a sustainable and grounded peace that you have now, serenity that you have now, that enables you to do bigger things. Like, you know, you said you were nervous to get on this podcast and talk, and I can imagine, you know, turning away from that nervous energy, right? And just saying, nope, I'm not going to show up. Like, you don't do that today. Today you show up. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I am so grateful for that.
And I think that's my change, is I used to hide and I used to let fear win. And I used to say, I'm not sure, somebody else could do it better. And somebody else will do it perfectly. And all the reasons. But I love showing up messy because it's so real and relatable. And sobriety is so messy. I don't know anyone who is like, I decided to get sober and it's been rainbows and unicorns ever since. Like, not one person, but not one person has ever been like, man, I wish I went back to drinking. Not one person has ever been like, I wish I went back to drinking. Everyone's life is, it's so good to feel it all. Like, to know really when you feel your life in that way in sobriety, like what you've been through, you really know who you are. Like you experience your life in a whole new way. It's so amazing. So
yeah, it reminds me that, you know, years ago when I would read like self-help books, or I would like see people and they would talk the way that we are talking, I'd be like, yeah, right. Like, I wouldn't 100%. Believe that. I'd be like, okay, nice of you like believe that, but I'm sure she's crying behind the scenes. And yeah, we do cry behind the scenes. Like, that's the point. Like, we know we cry behind the scenes and we're totally okay with that. And at the same time, like, it's true. It really does feel that good. Like, it really does feel that good to be on this side of the work, like to be the crier, to be the feels the fear and does it anyway. Yeah, we're not making this shit up. It's that good.
It's this good. It's fun because every day is exciting. And every day when I was drinking was Groundhog's Day. And this is just so much better.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for sharing that sober story with us. I've loved having you.
Thank you.